to Straight Talk with MJ. I'm your host, Michelle Jeanette. Thank you again for joining me on this fifth day of August. Oh my gosh, time is flying by. I know I haven't been with you guys in a while. I've been battling some bad inner ear vertigo, which has really affected my ability to read and to put my thoughts together coherently. And so I'm just kind of taking a step back and trying to get, you know, address that issue. But I wanted to come to you today because I heard a speech by General Michael Flynn. And if you don't know him, he was was going to be part of President Trump's national security advising type team at the beginning of 2016-17. And the security apparatus here in the United States wanted to take him out because he knew too much and they didn't like what he stood for, and he could reveal all their secrets that were bad. So they attempted to pretty much get rid of him. Went through several years of a court case, and because of attorney Sidney Powell, he was able to be exonerated of all that, and then Trump pardoned him. But he is a fabulous, strong man of God, and I wanted to bring a little speech that he gave to a church, and it is powerful. I wanted to share that with you, but first a few thoughts, and then I'm going to do my normal history part that I do at the end. I'm going to start off with that because it kind of relates to what General Flynn is talking about. But, you know, we are in a huge battle for America. Maybe you've noticed. There are many Christians speaking out, but to me, and I've heard a lot of other people say this, it seems like the church as a whole is kind of quiet. Now, I know there are churches that are speaking out, but the church as a whole is sort of quiet. And in John 10:10, I wanted to jump in and say this because I always love history. I love bringing you true history of America. And what we're in is a battle for this whole Constitution America idea. And in John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So, abundant life. Here in America, that has always meant what our founders emblazoned in our historical documents, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, that we are endowed by our Creator for abundant life. And with that comes the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is what Jesus said, right? Freedoms, liberties. So that's what's under attack. And our founders knew that this abundant life came from our Creator, and they knew the core principles came from the Bible, and that we had to be a moral and religious people, that we had to be unified in those core principles to succeed as a nation. So when they established that document and they toiled over it for months, the actual Bill of Rights. This was after the war. Okay, so we declared independence in July 4th, 1776. But we had to fight the war to break free from the tyrannical government that was Britain at the time. And that took years. And then it took even more years to establish and form that document, the Bill of Rights. And when I'm studying the Constitution with Patriot Academy, I learned that they debated and debated in the heat of summer for like 4 months. They went back and forth and couldn't agree on much. And it was Benjamin Franklin that finally stood up and said, you know what? What we haven't done is what we did back at the beginning. And even just 10 to 12, 15 years later from independence, they had to be reminded of this. So we have to be reminded of this. He said, we have not gone to the Lord in prayer and ask him for guidance. They hadn't done that. So they stopped everything they were doing. They prayed for guidance. They had everyone pray for guidance. And then it was within a matter of weeks that they were able to finalize the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. And then later the Federalist Papers explaining everything to everyone. So they knew they couldn't do it without Almighty God. And those core principles lately have been, is what has been the object of scorn and hatred by those acting to destroy our very nation. And it seems like, you know, we saw all the hatred of America First ideas in the Trump presidency. They hated him. They hated him, what he stood for. They hated the people who voted for him to bring back America, okay? And he acknowledged God over and over again, that we worship God, not government. He said it over and over. And so it seems that the strategy of those who want to take down the nation has been fear and division. And it seems that strategy has been working. It seems that it has been working. The church seems quiet. It seems silent. And there may be many, many reasons. I see many reasons why. One could be we're either oblivious to the spiritual warfare going on. We might notice, but life is so busy. And we're just busy raising, you know, working and raising our kids. And life gets in the way. Or there have been many churches and individuals and Christians who have actually embraced the world and its ways and its ideas, which are totally against what, you know, the Bible says in a lot of what we would call social things. And then still there are some Christians who say that they don't belong, that Christianity or that Christians don't belong in politics. But in also in studying, God, did you know God designed three institutions? Okay, I had never really thought about that till lately. He designed the family. He designed the church. And guess what the third one was? He designed government. Okay, we are called to be involved in all three, not just family and church. So many of us get involved in family and church and neglect government. And I think that's part of the reason why we see such tyranny in our government now. The Constitution is upside down. Our government has flipped it over. It's burning the Constitution. It's taking that document and that whole idea and it's lit a fire to it and it's burning it up. Today we are facing times that we've never faced, unprecedented times for America. We are witnessing kind of two different fronts of attack, and they're related but different. The first one is an all-out war that was started on us, that was declared on us by the Chinese Communist Party, by releasing this either intentionally or even if it was an accident, they used it to spread it across the whole globe. Okay, if there's a whole story about the Chinese Communist Party that their whole goal is to dominate the world. Okay, so they sent that bioweapon, which we now know Fauci funded. Fauci knew about it. He knew that there was gain of function going on, which means the weaponizing of viruses. He knew all that. There's email showing that he knew all this before this virus was spread. He knew it and lied. So They don't care that they're lying to the people anymore. So, they sent the Chinese Communist Party, just, you know, spread this over the world, and then they used their pawns and cohorts in our government to implement radical draconian policies of how to react to the virus. You know, mask mandates, lockdowns, and now, you know, loss of freedoms like we've never seen ever here. It's insane, the loss of freedoms and individual autonomy over your right to say what you do with your, what you do with yourself, right? It's a war on us by our own leaders, tied, you know, many of their, there's many ties, financial ties and ideological ties of our leaders with the CCP. It's a Marxist religion that you've seen it in BLM, you've seen it now in the teaching of what they call critical race theory, critical theory in our schools. We have seen the most rapid destruction of a nation by the most radical Marxist leaders in our history of this nation. And the virus was just the tool to use that they used. They used it to change, illegally change voting laws in different states, which was able, they were able to cheat. That is absolute proof that there was cheating. And Mike Lindell is going to bring out what he says is absolute proof that China had a hand in it on the digital side. All fronts, all fronts. Then you have the demonizing of patriots who protested and wanted to get to the truth, that all they wanted was to get to the truth. And it was used by our own national security apparatus in this nation, and they used it to demonize and now call anybody who is a patriot and basically wants America first policies, they are now called domestic terrorists. So they're using CIA operative and FBI operations against their own people. They have infiltrations, obviously, the Marxist ideology, like I said, of our schools, teaching kids to hate their country, to hate their themselves, their skin. They're teaching kids to hate themselves based on their skin color. Is that what you want your child to learn? To not love their country and to hate themselves? And that you can't be anything good because you are of a dark skin color, so you'll never make it. You'll never succeed because there's always somebody pushing you down. That is not what America is founded on or what it teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches, for that matter. Now you also seeing the purging of American patriotic ideology, conservative ideology, out of our military. This woke thing going on in our military, and now they're forcing men and women to basically either comply with their ideas of hating America. So they're teaching their military, who take an oath to defend this nation, take an oath to the Constitution, and they're teaching them that this country is bad. How do you take an oath to a country that you're teaching them is bad? Even China doesn't do that. They teach their people that that's the best country in the world. So they're doing that, okay? And now they're purging them even more by forcing this just today or yesterday. They're going to be forcing this experimental gene shot on the military. That's a whole other story that also brings division. Okay, they've used this to divide families. And I want to say, we have to purpose in our hearts and purpose in our minds that it doesn't matter what a family member or a friend might think about any of this. Okay, we cannot let the spirit of deception and division divide our families and friends. And it's doing that. Many friends and family people, you see it all across social media. Well, I'm not going to be friends with anybody who doesn't get vaccinated, or I'm going to totally not friend somebody who is, or who doesn't, you know, whatever the reason is. We have to put that aside. You know what they're doing? Their FBI themselves are tweeted out that they are setting up a system where you can quote report on your friends and family if you think they have radical ideology. And what do they mean by radical ideology? They mean if you love America and think this election may have had some cheating in it, and you voted for Trump, then you're radical and you're a domestic terrorist. And they have set up a system where family and friends can tell on you and tell them about you. People, I'm telling you right now, there are at least 200 people sitting in a DC jail for the crime of trespassing because they voted for Trump. They're sitting in a jail without bail and no trial. That is so unconstitutional, it's ridiculous. They have solitary confinement. They don't see their families. They don't get to talk to their lawyers, okay, without them listening in, which is, again, unconstitutional. They don't get medical treatment. Several of them have had cancer and don't get medical treatment. They've been beaten. One guy lost his eye and no medical treatment. They have to eat bologna and peanut butter and jelly off the floor. Okay? This is happening, and when several of the congressmen went to visit the DC jail, because that is their job, oversight. Okay? Oversight of federal institutions and things that are going on. They were locked out and said they would be arrested for trespassing if they didn't leave. What are they hiding in the DC jail? What do they not want us to see? They're kicking down doors in the middle of night, raiding these families with kids, with FBI SWAT teams. Meanwhile, people who actually burned buildings, destroyed properties, businesses, Capitol buildings in Oregon and Seattle and other places, killed cops, injured thousands of them. They are let out of jail like that. No bail, like that. And if they had bail, Kamala Harris and other people in the Democrat Party were helping pay for it. Is that a system of justice that America is built on? No. It is not. So we are divided. But we cannot stand if we stay divided. So we as individuals have to purpose in our heart not to let what's happening divide us. We have to stand united on our core principles of freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom to practice your Christianity or religion wherever you see fit, freedom of being able to assemble, to address your grievances to the government. We can't even get to our government. They have become like this, I don't know, castle with a moat. They're high and mighty, drunk on power, especially Miss Pelosi. So we are in an intense battle. And what I want to do, what I endeavor to do, is share truth. And so I wanted to read something to you before I played this talk by General Flynn. And this is out of my Founder's Bible. Again, I highly recommend that, from wallbuilders.com, the Founder's Bible. It's full of historical information that relates to the scripture. And so this one is Matthew 5:14. And Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." Media and political commentators today often reference President Reagan's "City on a Hill" speech that he gave. But in reality, Reagan was quoting from Puritan leader John Winthrop, who was quoting from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It is the Puritans who were largely responsible for making this verse well known in American history, for it was a central part of their founding covenant. In 1608, the Pilgrims fled England to Holland after suffering harsh persecution from the Church of England. So yeah, the Church has never been perfect, especially in certain periods of time. Many English religious dissenters who shared the general theology of the Pilgrims remained behind, believing that the Church could be reformed. They were known as Puritans, but after many of them received life sentences or had their noses slit, ears cut off, or a brand placed on their foreheads for not adhering to the state-mandated Anglican teachings, they too fled. The Pilgrims came to America in 1620, and before disembarking in Plymouth Harbor, they penned the Mayflower Compact, announcing their mission and the general terms of their agreement with one another. See, what I'm telling you is the true history, not this fake history that 1619 Project wants to teach all our school kids that America is evil and based on slavery. It is not. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Don't believe it, and Christians should not fall for that at all. There is no redemption in that theology, and that is a religion to them. Because if you don't believe in this division of anti-American racist, it's a racist ideology, okay? Then you're the bad person. But don't believe that for a minute. And as Christians, we cannot believe in this 1619 critical race theory because there is no redemption. There's no redeeming value in it at all. There's no reconciliation in it at all. You are forever branded a racist, no matter what. No matter if you try to ever try to not be, it doesn't matter. To them, it doesn't matter. So their goal is always division and never to bring together. So you know that cannot be from God. Okay, back to the story. Sorry. In 1630, the Puritans did the same, with their leader John Winthrop setting forth the terms of their covenant and a model of Christian charity, which he wrote while sailing across the Atlantic on the ship Arabella. It explained this, quote, "Herein are four things to be propounded. First, the persons. Secondly, the work. Third, the end. Fourthly, the means." First, for the persons, we are a company professing ourselves fellow members of Christ. Secondly, for the work, it is to seek out a place of cohabitation and consortship, which is fellowship, under a due form of government, both civil and ecclesiastical, or the church. Thirdly, the end is to improve our lives to do more service to the Lord, the comfort and increase of the body of Christ, whereof we are members, that ourselves and posterity, or our children, may be the better preserved from the common corruptions of this evil world to serve the Lord and work out our salvation under the power and purity of His holy ordinance. And fourth, for the means, we must love brotherly without dissimulation, Romans 12:9. We must love one another with a pure heart fervently, 1 Peter 1:22. We must bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. We must not look only on our own things, but also on the things of our brethren, Philippians 2:4. We are entered into covenant with Him for this work. We have taken out a commission. The Lord hath given us leave to draw our own articles. But if we shall neglect the observation of these articles, the Lord will surely break out in wrath against us, be revenged of such a sinful people, and make us know the price of the breach of such a covenant. Now the only way to avoid this shipwreck and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, Micah 6:8. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world. Is that what we're seeing now? Shall America become a story and a byword for the world? I pray not. This is what I am endeavoring to fight against and bring you the truth. It goes on and said in this article. The latter part of this covenant, including the phrase so well known today, was often repeated by Christians and leaders throughout New England for generations in order to remind the people of their covenant with the Lord. In 1974, a young Hollywood actor and conservative California governor named Ronald Reagan revived this phrase when he told a political convention this: "I have always believed that there was some divine plan that placed this great continent between two oceans to be sought out by those who were possessed of an abiding love of freedom and a special kind of courage. I know there have been many other constitutions. New ones are being drawn today by newly emerging nations. Most of them, even the one of the Soviet Union, contain many of the same guarantees as our own constitution, and still there is a difference. The difference is so subtle that we often overlook it, but it is so great that it tells the whole story. Those other constitutions say, government grants you these rights, and ours says, you are born with these rights. They are yours by the grace of God, and no government on earth can take them from you. Standing on the tiny deck of the Arabella in 1630 off the Massachusetts coast, John Winthrop said, we will be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all the people are upon us, so that if we deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world. Well, we have not dealt falsely with our God, even if he is temporarily suspended from the classroom. And this is in reference to the 1962 Supreme Court decision banning voluntary prayer from public schools. We are indeed, and we are today, the last best hope of man on earth. 5 years later, Governor Reagan announced that he was running for president, telling the country this: I believe this nation hungers for a spiritual revival. Government should uphold and not undermine those institutions which are custodians of the very values upon which civilization is founded: religion, education, and above all, family. We who are privileged to be Americans have had a rendezvous with destiny since the moment in 1630 when John Winthrop, standing on the deck of that tiny Arabella off the coast of Massachusetts, told the little band of pilgrims, again, we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world. A troubled and afflicted mankind looks to us, pleading for us to keep our rendezvous with destiny. Some 30 years later, that hunger still exists. So too the invitation. We do have a rendezvous with an unfinished destiny. If ever there was a need for us to respond, it's now. America can continue to be a city upon a hill, but we must not deal falsely with our God in this work, and thus cause him to withdraw his present help from us. Our forefathers forged a covenant. Our founders laid the foundation. Christ has ever been the true cornerstone, for it is from him that our freedom flows. Those who have followed have built upon those values, many wisely, some foolishly. But thankfully, a glorious nation emerged. Its people have climbed that mountain and lit a beacon of freedom that has shone brightly for those many generations, for ourselves and for our posterity. With all the eyes of the world upon us, let us not stumble now. We cannot, must not, and will not let that light go out. And we are the longest continuous running constitution in the history of the world governments. 230 plus years, when the average constitution lasts 17 years. It is a miracle, and it's only because of the foundation that it is built upon. So, that is our duty and our calling as Christians to fight for the family, fight for the church, and for your government, wherever you are, but especially in this American constitutional republic. It's being burned to the ground by those in power right now who don't care. There's so many things that are illegal going on. It's ridiculous. So we have to stay united. We have to come together. And don't allow the enemy to divide and put these ideas in your head or, you know, whatever it is. Do what you can to stay united with your family and friends. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they think about certain things, issues going on right now. The core principles that we love Jesus, that we fight for the family, that we fight for their church, and we fight for this wonderful nation that we have. And the way to do that, I want you to listen to General Mike Flynn. He is awesome. So I want you to hear what he has to say, and hopefully it will inspire you. He's speaking at a church conference.
I want to start off by just telling you a little bit about who I am, because I think that, you know, there's been a lot of definitions of Mike Flynn, who Mike Flynn is, who General Flynn is, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about where I think we are in the country today, and then I'm going to leave you with a message. I'm going to leave you with a message at the end. My life has been really blessed. And I will tell you, the last 4 years have actually been about four lifetimes. And the things that got me through that were faith, family, and what I call true friendship. True friendship. I've redefined what friendship means to me. My wife and I have been together since we were 13 years old. And I know she's out there watching tonight. We just had our 40th anniversary. We just had our fourth grandchild. I mean, we are probably stronger today than we've ever been in our lives because of our faith. And the one thing that I tell people as I get into this story about not only who I am, but it's really a story about America, because this is what everything that we are today has to be about our country, has to be about our country. And I will tell you that there's one thing that is more precious than freedom, vastly more precious than freedom. They can take away your freedom. Your faith, they can never take away. So I am one of nine children. I'm right in the middle. I grew up, my father was a World War II and a Korea veteran. My legacy, my family's legacy, is really a legacy of service to the military. I had a grandfather that served in the Navy for 40 years. I had another grandfather that served in World War II. He was missing in action, and then they found him in action, right? And thank God for that. That was back in World War I. So my father's World War II, Korea War veteran. He retires out of the Army as a sergeant. And we go on to have nine children in our family. I was actually born on a military base, Fort Meade, Maryland. And beautiful, yeah, for those that are come from Maryland and for those that are listening from Maryland, for those that are listening all over the world tonight too, one little sidebar. This is about all freedom-loving people, all faithful people around the world that love this country and want to see our country stand strong. That's what this is about. So when I talk about family, because faith was really what got us through. I mean, when you talk about, you know, for those that understand or know Psalm 23, yea, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, right? Thou art with me. I mean, I lived in that valley. My wife and I lived in that valley together. But we never, never lost sight of our faith. And we never lost sight of our faith because, like we like to say in the Flynn family, fight like a Flynn. And you stand against the Flynns in our particular clan, in our brood, all of my brothers and sisters, and I know they're all listening tonight. I love my family. Family is sacrosanct like many other rights and privileges that we have in this country. So family is something that is super important. And as I progressed and decided to go into the military, I can tell you from the time I can remember, I always wanted to serve in the military. And it was probably partly where I was born, following my father around while he was a sergeant in the Army and living on all these different places that I lived as a kid. And then moving back to my parents' hometown. My mother and father, they grew up together. They grew up as babies together. Gave us a great example. My father, Charlie Flynn, God rest his soul. He taught us one thing in our family, and that was to treat others like you'd like to be treated, and that's called the golden rule. And that's the way we should live our lives every single day, is treat others like you like to be treated. My mother was a brilliant, brilliant woman, strong, big pro-life, was part of the whole national pro-life movement way back. And she's a terrific lady. God rest her soul. She just died a few years back at the age of 90. Had her wits right up until the last day. Her body just gave out. My mother taught all of us to be lifelong learners. Never stop learning. Keep at it. Do not give up on whatever it is that's out there. Get smarter. Get better. Get more educated. You may not use that education that you get. You may just put it in your back pocket. But you have it if someday you need it. So as I go through life, and I go through, as General Copeland, I'm gonna talk a little bit about him here at the end. But as General Copeland says, you know, he was talking about flying airplanes. For almost my entire career, I was jumping out of them. So I'm actually blessed to be able to be standing up here because I've had a few bad jumps into trees and water and whatnot in some pretty dicey places. Service has always been about who I am. And what I would tell you is that if I learned something over the last few years, what I learned was that people were trying to define me. People were trying to define who you are. And if there's one thing, if there's one big message for me tonight to all of you, especially young people that may be watching this, do not let others define you. You define yourself. There's a god-awful lot of pressure out there in the world today. We're facing four tensions. The way I've kind of packaged in my own mind how I'm synthesizing what we are facing. What we are facing today, we're facing four really very difficult tensions that are clashing. Using a military term, we are facing four elements of warfare. And what I want people to know as I walk through these, because I'm going to walk through them not in detail, I'm just going to kind of wave top it, but I'm going to give you some idea about what they are, because they all have to do with every single aspect of our life. I want people to know, and especially those people that are listening in that can't make it here tonight, because all of you that are here tonight, I want you to be exhausted by the end of this week. Just like we train for combat. We train until we're exhausted, and then we go back and we train again. You pray, you listen, you learn this week, and you go back. Tonight, you come back tomorrow and do it again. And by the end of this week, I want you to be exhausted in prayer. For the people that are out there that are listening around the world, we're facing four things. First is physical. We have a physical war going on in this country. And it's the haves and the have-nots. Everybody sees it. I mean, there's a health freedom drill that we're being taken through by our own government. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's a physical thing that's happening to our children. It's happening to us. It's happening to our churches. It's very physical. And that's a component of the warfare that we are facing. It is a massive tension that we all experience every single day. The second tension or the second element of warfare that we are involved in is emotional. This is very, very emotional. We have had in my own family, my own extended family, my wife has 7 brothers and sisters. I've got close to 50 nieces and nephews. So this emotional upheaval that not only is happening in my own family, and I know it's happening in your family, it's happening to this entire country. We are very emotional about what is happening, and we should be, especially as Christians. We should be emotional about this because it's a removal of something that we deeply believe in. It's a removal of God from the very fabric of who we are as a nation. This is a big deal. It's very, very emotional. So we have physical and we have emotional. This third element really is something that I have had to study about and had to think about, and it really has to do with our intellect and its intellectual component or intellectual warfare. It's this intellectual tension that we are going through. Some would call it censorship. Some would call it fake news. I mean, what you heard up here over the last hour about this sort of freedom network is really what it is. I mean, the Victory Channel is about freedom. So this intellectual component of warfare, and where this came to me and why I kind of package what it is that I'm talking to you about tonight like this, because I listened to Ronald Reagan's Shining City on a Hill speech. I've listened to it a whole bunch of times. And I started to think about, as we do research, because really what my bigger point is that when you see something, when you hear something, like my father taught me, believe half of what you hear and half of what you see, right? The other thing my father taught me is that there's no atheists in a foxhole. So intellectual, Ronald Reagan gave a beautiful speech called Shining City on the Hill. Many people in this room, most people out in the audience probably don't know. Where does that come from? So I dug. I'm doing my intellectual rigor. I'm doing my intellectual research because I want to know. And my point here is that if somebody says something to you and you just don't believe it, don't believe it. Go dig. Go read. Go find out what is going on. So I did. And I said, who else talked about a city on a hill? A guy by the name of Winthrop. First, he's the founder of Boston. I'm from up in the state of Rhode Island, where I grew up in the New England area. So Winthrop in 1630, a bunch of ships getting ready to leave their country. People that were fleeing because of being religiously persecuted. They were being religiously persecuted, and they were essentially getting out of Dodge, getting on board ships to cross the Atlantic Ocean, didn't know whether they were going to run into bad weather, really no idea what was on the other side, 1630. And Winthrop gives a speech, he gives a sermon, it's a beautiful sermon, you can look it up online, you should read the whole thing. And that's where he brings up the phrase, city on a hill, and it gets better. He brings up a city on a hill, but then he looks at everybody in his congregation before they boarded those ships to leave their very towns and leave their country because they believed in religion and they believed in religious liberty. That's what they believed in. He looked at everybody and he knew and he said, some of you have very little means. Some of you have very little means. Some of you have a lot of means, but we're all equal crossing this Atlantic, going to this new country. It wasn't the United States of America. Remember, it was 1630. So they didn't know they were going to the new world. Intellectual warfare. It's probably one of the most important components, or certainly it's the second most important component, because I'm going to talk to the first one here in a second. Intellectual warfare. So I dig. And where do I find City on the Hill? Anybody? You find it in the Bible. You find the quote. Anybody want to yell out who it is?
Jesus.
It was Matthew. Jesus gave him the inspiration like he gives me the inspiration to get up here and talk. Because I walk up on this stage and I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just know it's flowing. Matthew describes in the Bible a city on a hill. I'm digging. I'm researching. I'm trying to get away from the censorship. I'm trying to get away from the fake news. This battle that we are in, this war that we are in, is an intellectual war as much as it's an emotional war, as much as it's a physical war. The tension that is created in our families, in our communities, in our churches, in our nation, particularly in our nation. The most important component, though, the most effective, and this is where when I come to something like this and I hear the music, I hear the stories, and I really watch you waving the flag. I mean, it's such an emotional thing for me, is spiritual warfare. Okay? So we have physical, we have emotional, and we have intellectual. But the most important, and it surrounds all of them, is this idea of spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. This nation, the United States of America, we are the shining city on the hill. I want all the people watching this tonight, I want all the people from around the world that are watching this tonight to know, if you don't have a voice, I will be your voice. We will be your voice. If you don't have a champion, I will be your champion. We will be your champions. I do not want people sitting home alone, which they are tonight, and feeling like they're isolated. Because that's what these tensions that we are facing right now, that's what they are trying to do. Isolate us. So I want everybody to know, and when you leave here, because I'm gonna make a statement here in a little bit about where I think we are and what I think you need to do. What I think you need to do, what I think all the people listening. I do not want people to feel alone. I want you to know. In fact, I know. Not everybody can serve. There's probably some veterans out there. There's probably some people that have served in our law enforcement, our first responder communities, and other people who have served in other walks of life. Not everybody can serve in a way that I did in the military. That's fine. People come up to me all the time and say, you know, I never got a chance to serve, and I say, don't worry about it. How do you serve? How do you serve? How do you serve your own home? How do you serve your family? How do you serve your community? How do you serve as a volunteer? Whatever it is that you do, everybody has the talent to do something more. We have people in this country today, young people. Young people are, we're just like a big swing. They're being swung from one side to the other. And I was telling a story back there that if we, in our recruiting of people to come into the military, we have to go and talk to at least 100. We have to engage at least 100 young men or young women to get one. To get one. That's the test, right? You're a recruiter. Anybody that's, you see recruiting stations in malls around here, they've got to go talk to 100 to get one. The man that gave me the honor to stand up here tonight. He was one. He was one, and look at what he's done. I mean, look at what he's done. It only takes one. But I want everybody out there to know that there are champions for you. We exist for you. All we need to know is that you're praying. I tell people that I'm standing here tonight because of the most powerful weapon system known to man, and that's prayer. I know that there's people in this room, and I know that there's people out in the virtual audience that prayed for my family and I. I know that. We participated with some of those, but we could feel it. We could feel it. We could feel it. And I will just tell you that as I have gone around and spoken to different groups of people and getting a sense of America about what is happening and what we're going through, because we're going through something that is a difficult time. It's an unprecedented time in our history. It is going to require more sacrifice. It's going to require, you know, the Christian community to really come alive like you've never come alive before. There are millions and millions and millions, hundreds of millions actually, of us. And I am not going to be persecuted. I'm not going to be defined. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to speak out about my faith. I'm going to speak out about this country. I'm going to speak out about our rights, our constitutional rights. Tell this story before I start to kind of exit here. There's a star, right? Star has 5 points. It's an interesting story. I honestly don't know whether it's true, but I want to believe it because it goes way back. The star, right? 5 points of the star. And the star goes back to the time of Jesus' birth. I was born on Christmas Eve. Okay? So it goes back to the time of Jesus' birth, where the Magi's followed a star, and the star has 5 points. Those 5 points, they are equivalent to the 5 wounds of Jesus. Right? 2 in the feet, 2 in the hand, and 1 in the rib cage. As he didn't bleed, it was something else. It was like a spirit that came out of him to allow us to understand sacrifice. When we talk about sacrifice, here I am talking about somebody who's, I don't know, a couple of thousand years old, and I'm standing up here in Fort Worth, Texas, talking about a man who sacrificed, who gave up everything. And here we are talking about him tonight. You're going to talk about him for the remainder of this week, and you're going to talk about them for the rest of your lives. And I want people in this country, because there's a lot of Christians that are not awake yet. There's a lot of pastors, there's a lot of preachers that have to wake up. You gotta wake up. So I'm going to read you something because I wrote it, first of all, and I've thought about it. It's really, really important to me, and I want it to be important to you because it's something that, as I look at the landscape of America, and I know, I mean, you're looking at a person who has seen evil, who has experienced the deepest levels of corruption, and who has been all over this world fighting for, sometimes for reasons that I don't totally understand, for people in many cases that don't really care if you're there, and for objectives that you're not really sure are you're able to accomplish. You're doing it because you're serving somebody. You're serving this country. Men and women who sign up for the military, young men and women who sign up for the military, 18 years old, they go down to that recruiter and they sign up to be a mechanic, they sign up to be a truck driver, they sign up to be a pilot, they sign up to join the infantry. They're not signing up for something. They're signing up to give their very lives for this country. That's sacrifice. Jesus Christ signed on the dotted line to give up his life for every single one of us. Don't ever forget that. This country is the city on the hill. This country is the shining city on the hill and will forever be the shining city on the hill. So I'm going to leave you with this, because I believe everybody that knows me knows where I stand regarding the future of our republic, our beautiful experiment in democracy called the United States of America. However, I firmly believe that the United States of America has lost sight of our Creator. And we are now facing the truest of all tests. God is putting us through this test. He hasn't left us. This nation has walked away from Him. He's still standing there. And I sense that we no longer have a just government that rules in fear of God. In fact, God has been ripped out of the womb that is Mother America. During the past several decades, America has thrown the law of God out the window. There has been a systematic, intentional dismissal by the state, by academia, and by a select group of wealthy, godless elites that set aside God's law as the rule of law in America. If this is true, and the piety reflected by many in our religious leadership ranks keep congregations asleep in their pews, we will lose our country as we know it forever. As stated by our founding father, John Adams, in 1798, our Constitution is designed, quote, for a moral and religious people, end quote. If the essence of liberty is a limited government, then the positive actions and involvement of its free citizens will forever sustain our cause for freedom. So, Christians, viewers, listeners, citizens of America, get involved. Get involved in your communities. Get involved in your families. Get involved in this country. Get involved in the lifeblood that makes this country go. And that lifeblood is a Judeo-Christian set of principles and values that this country was founded upon. Your actions, all the thousands that are in this convention center, and maybe all the millions of people that are going to watch this, your actions at the local level will have a national impact. Local action, national impact. You have to get involved. We have to stop saying it's their problem. Those people in Washington, D.C., or those people in Austin, or whatever state's capital you come from, or that you have in your state, it's not their problem. It's not the church's problem. It's our problem. It's our problem. We have to fix it. We have to fix it, and we can fix it. Remember this as I close. Beautiful lady came up to me the other day and said this to me, and I wrote it down because I just found it. I found it true. And as I came in here tonight and met Ken Copeland, I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing person. But the quote goes, "An army of 10,000 is easy to find. Oh, to find a general." Thank you, General Copeland. Thank you, General Copeland, for all that you have done. Thank you for being the one who listened to that call and created this. And it is going to be part of the awakening of America and the return to liberty.
Yeah. So, I hope that fired you up a little. Get involved. Get involved. It's up to us. Definitely up to us. I know I've been an hour, so thank you for listening. Follow me at straighttalkwithmj.net. I'm on Telegram, Straight Talk with MJ. And on the new platform, Getter, G-E-T-T-R. Also, it says Straight Talk WMJ. I had to shorten it down a little bit. So that's where you can find me. And thank you guys. Love you. I love you all with all my heart. And I just pray that we all get involved and do our part as Christians so we can stand and be, you know, we'll be held accountable for what we do or don't do. So bless you guys. I love you, and talk to you later.